Good morning, everybody. Thanks for coming today. As you all know, this is my first time officially preaching, so this is pretty exciting. A good opportunity for me to speak God's truth today and hope that God will share through me something that you guys can apply to your lives today. And want to thank Charles for the opportunity, and because without him as our leader, showing us the way, the truth, and the life through God's Word, and also for my parents for doing the same thing, I wouldn't be up here today. So appreciate all you guys for everything that you've taught us, so we can be prepared for this moment in time. So today's message is going to cover David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, and a couple of our key things are going to be talking about being prepared no matter what your age. David, as we all know, was a pretty young guy fighting against Goliath. We're going to see not one, not two, but three different people saying, David, you're too young to do this, and we should always be prepared for whatever comes our way, no matter what. And then we need to look at knowing your armor. What is your armor? Are you prepared both physically and spiritually? And then finally, we'll be talking about trusting in the Lord. So let's take a moment of prayer, and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for allowing us to learn about you today through your word. Help lead and guide us through the message today, Lord, of David and Goliath, that we can learn from it and grow from it and share your truth with others wherever we may be at, Lord. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I'm going to go to 1 Samuel 17, and I will start in verse 22. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done with this man that killeth the Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. So David here is speaking to the nation of Israel, to the army of Israel, saying, why are we letting this man, this giant, intimidate us to defy our living God? We should be standing. Who's going to stand up? Why are we not standing up for the truth, for what needs to be said and what needs to be done? We should not be allowing anyone to intimidate us or make us afraid of standing up for what God would have us to do. Now let's continue down in verse 28 and 29 real quick. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? So here's our first person that we're seeing. His own eldest brother, Eliab, is saying, David, you're too young to be doing this. Why are you here? Why did you just want to come and see the battle for entertainment purposes? He was downplaying David's age. He's saying he's too young to be even thinking about trying to be there in the first place. Let's go to verse 32 and 33 real quick. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant shall go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." So here's our second person, Saul, King Saul, saying, "David, you're too young. This guy Goliath, he's been a man of war from his youth. He knows how to do battle. You're pretty young. You haven't really been experienced in battles like this. You're just too young." So never let your age be a determining factor in when to stand up for God. And then let's skip down to verse 42 real quick. "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods." So here's our third person, Goliath himself. He sounds like he's insulted that Israel would even send somebody that's so young to fight him. He's a big, tall man. He's wanting to fight somebody that's ready to war, is ready to battle with him, and he doesn't think David is up for the task either. So let's see why our age, or any age, doesn't matter if you're young or old. Let's see why we should not be intimidated by our age or any other physical factor in our lives for speaking the truth of God's word. So let's turn to Psalms 129. Okay, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. "Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, may Israel now say, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me." So as long as we keep our trust in God, nothing can stand against us, nothing will prevail against us, even if we are young. Then let's go to Lamentations, chapter 3, and verse 27. If you don't know where Lamentations at, it's just after the book of Jeremiah. And I'm actually going to read starting in verse 22 real quick. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." So, as I was saying earlier, with thanking Charles and thanking my parents for teaching and guiding us in God's truth, it is good for a man or anybody to be bearing the yoke of learning God's word while you are young, so you are prepared at any moment in time to share that truth with others. It's why we have children's church and Bible studies and discipleship. As I said, it doesn't matter what your age is, as long as you're learning and growing and trying to understand God's truth better and better every day, you will do God, will bring a lot of glory to God for that. And let's also go over to what Paul has to say in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're specifically going to look at verses 12 and 13. And I'll start in verse 11. "These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." So Paul is telling us here that Don't let anyone downplay or discard your age. You can speak the truth for God at whatever age. Make sure you're being an example for the believers in every aspect of your life on a daily basis through God's Word. Let's also go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll read verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So, a couple things we can learn from that. I wouldn't say I'm the most excellent speaker in the world. I definitely know I'm not. But with God's help and with God's wisdom, I'm here today trying to share what I know and what I've learned from studying David and Goliath to share that with you. And we should never, ever let our worldly man's wisdom overcome or overpower what is in God's wisdom and God's power. God's wisdom, God's power should take priority in our life today, and not worrying about what the worries of the world are or any of that. Focus on the eternal, not the temporal. And then I also want to look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. With all prayer also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. So here we are commanded to be ready to speak whenever the time does come. We need to be able to answer every man and know approximately where they're at in their growing relationship with Christ, or maybe they're not saved at all. You need to make sure that your speech and your communication with them is at their level. Know how you ought to answer every man. Keep on going. So, I want to also look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. That's what I wrote down. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So today we need to be, especially if you're saved in Christ, we need to try to be always walking as the children of light. We need to let our light shine in this very dark world that we live in today. There's just so much going on that we know all the stories that we hear in the news. It's a very dark and scary world these days. We need to do our best to be God's light and share His truth about His salvation, what he did for us on the cross. Romans 10:9, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We need to spread that message, and then once after salvation, we need to be spreading the truth on how we need to continue to be reading and growing in God's truth every day so that we can have a reward in heaven when we get there. So this kind of goes into my next point is with walking as children of light, do we know our armor? for knowing your armor. Let's return back to 1 Samuel 17 real quick. And I want to look at verses 34 through 37 specifically. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. So this is going back to Saul doubting in the verses before what I just read, where he was doubting David's abilities because of his youth. And David here is giving him the very physical examples of protecting his flock, protecting his sheep from the lion and the bear. He overtook the lion and the bear, and he took care of them. That in of itself would be a very difficult task, and without a gun, I can imagine doing that. That'd be pretty terrifying. So David is proving himself to Saul, hey, I took care of these two big giants in my life already. Surely I can take care of Goliath as well. Let's keep going down to the next couple of verses with 38 and 39. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. So Saul has outfitted David with the standard Israeli army or outfits of the day, the chain of mail, the helmet, your sword, your shield, what have you. And David is saying, I haven't used these before. I don't know them. So it is critical that you know your armor. This is a very physical example here, but it's the same thing spiritually. Do you know what your armor is? Do you know your sword, your Bible? Do you know how to speak it and go forth and share it with others today? And let's keep going to 40 and 41. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. So, as we see here, David, his physical armor is his slingshot and his stones. He knew those weapons. He was prepared to use those weapons. It's the same thing with us physically today. When we're out hunting, we have to get a hunting license and pass the hunter's ed course. We have to know how to use our guns. We have to know how to use our bow and arrows. We have to make sure we know our weapons so we are prepared to go out hunting or even fishing with a fishing pole. You got to be familiar with how to use those items. And let's keep reading on down a little bit. So verse 42, And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and of ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, that I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David unto the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. So specifically there in that verse 45, I found it very interesting that David didn't even mention his slingshot or his stones. He said, I'll read it again there, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He's not saying any physical armor. He's saying a spiritual armor here. I come to thee in the name of the Lord. He's coming with God. God is on his side, and God is all the armor that he actually needs. Let's go to the writings of Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, and then I'm going to read verses 10 through 20. And this is talking about the spiritual armor of God. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye should be able to stand, ye should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that I therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So there at the very end there, we are commanded to be an ambassador for God. We're supposed to be speaking his truth daily and taking up the armor, God's armor, mostly his word, letting it guide us in everything we do. And we do that by reading it, studying it, and sharing it, what we learn, with others as we can. And then I did want to point out one kind of cool thing that I'm sure a lot of you do know, but maybe not many of you know, or maybe you do, I don't know. But there is 7 pieces of the armor here. So in verse 14, your loins girt about with truth, that's 1. Your breastplate of righteousness, that's 2. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that's 3. In verse 16, your shield of faith, that's 4. And verse 17, your helmet of salvation, that's 5. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that's 6. And then the final one, the 7th one, prayer. We don't always think of prayer as like a shield, but it is something that we need to be doing, and something, it's our way of speaking to God directly. That's how we speak to him, and that is part of our armor, is speaking to God. A lot of days and or a lot of times, a lot of people may not be reading God's word, but they do pray to him. That's good, but we also need to be reading it so God can send his word to us by us reading it. Think of it like as your daily email or daily text message or Facebook post, whatever you think of. This is God's word. We need to let him talk to us through his word, by reading it, and then we need to be speaking to him through praying. That's part of our armor. And 7, as we know, is completion. God created, or he completed his creation in 7 days. It's just neat that the armor 7, completion. He created the creation in 7 days. That was complete. So I found that to be a pretty neat little aspect there. And then let's go to 2 Timothy 2:15. And I'm sure many of you know this one. When you study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are commanded to be studying God's word, to knowing what directly applies to our lives today. We know that through reading the scriptures, that the writings of Paul are what directly apply to us and what we will be responsible for at the judgment seat in the books of Romans through Philemon. We are commanded to know those and know the commandments in those for us today. And that way you can obtain a reward in heaven by completing those commandments. Let's also look at Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, in verse 12 through 16. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till I come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, and by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So here we need to be making sure that we're speaking God's truth and love in everything that we do. We need to be sharing His truth and love, speaking it in love, and we as a church need to also be working together. It's the church is described as like a body, where Christ is the head of the church. He is our brain, if you will. He's the person that that leads us and guides us in the way that we go. And every single one of us needs to be accountable to what He would have us to do, and making sure that we're doing our part to fulfill His will. And let's also look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. We reap what we sow. Are we going to be like David, to where he fully trusted in the Lord to get him through the battle with Goliath? Or are we going to set by the wayside and let the world dictate our thoughts and what we should do? Let's all be focused on what God would want us to do, and staying focused on the spiritual things, the eternal things. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. David had a little bit of affliction there with trying to fight and defeat the Goliath, but he didn't let that get in his way. He fully 100% trusted that God was going to get him through that battle. We need to always be in remembrance that it's not the temporal worldly things that we see around us that are important. It's the eternal. What is the eternal impact that we are having by studying and sharing God's truth wherever we can. Now we're going into our final point. I was kind of getting into it a little bit with trusting in God. We need to trust in God no matter how big or how small our problems are. So let's return to 1 Samuel real quick. chapter 17. And I want to go back towards the beginning of the chapter, verses 4 and maybe 5. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and is armed with the coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. I tried to do a little bit of research, at least on Goliath's height, to be comparative to what we know in measurements today with feet and inches and what have you. So there didn't seem to be any concrete for sure what a cubit or even a span exactly was, but one place that I found said a cubit was about 18 inches and a span was about 9 inches, which if you do the math on that, that would make Goliath a little over 9.5 feet tall, if that's true. That would be very intimidating. I'm a 6'2" size man and be looking way up here like, oh, that's a tall guy. How am I going to defeat this man? So David had to have a ton of trust in God to get him through something like that. That would be very intimidating, but as we saw earlier, David made it through with the lion and the bear protecting his flock, protecting his sheep. So David was 100% trusting God to get him through this this Goliath, the giant, as well. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. God's reminding us that no matter what our temporal problems are today, he can get us through it. There's nothing to stop us, and everything that we see around us is temporary. As many of you know, Dad's having an issue with his eye. He can't see out of his left eye right now. That's been a temporal ailment, a battle for him physically, and as well as all of us. It's made it a little bit difficult, but I can say that I've been inspired by your faith. You've been very strong in this, and it's been a very good inspiration to me and to Drake. I'm sorry. It's been very good that we can look up to you, and thank you for that. With us seeing your physical pain and your physical ailment, seeing you stronger than ever in the faith has been a very encouraging moment for me. I'm pretty sure I can speak for Drake for that too, and for Mom, and even for all of us. So I appreciate that. Let's keep going. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We always need to trust in God, trust in the Lord, and he's going to lead us and guide us no matter what the situation is. As long as we put our full trust and faith in him, reading and searching his scriptures daily, he's going to guide us and put us on the right path. I wanted to read a little bit from Psalm 18. Studying this, I found out that 2 Samuel chapter 22 is very similar to Psalm 18. I thought that was kind of interesting. So let's look at 1 through 3 in Psalm 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. And I also wanted to read 30 through 36 in this chapter. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is the rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and he sets me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet should not slip. So, I really like that verse 36 there. If we have our trust in God, our feet are not going to slip. We're not going to get off the path if we fully 100% trust in God and what he would have us to do. We need to be loving God and knowing that God is our rock. He is our daily fortress. He will protect us no matter what the circumstance that may arise. And let's go back to Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is a key passage for eternal security. We should be comforted to know that once you are saved, nothing will be able to separate you from God's love. Nothing's going to get in the way of you knowing God and growing in him daily. He's always going to be right there beside you, no matter what. So let's return back to 1 Samuel 17 and finish out the book. We'll specifically look at 48 through 51 to see how the story ends. And all this assembly shall know the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon the face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Now, caution to all of you and any that are online looking at this later. This is a little graphic here, so just be prepared for this. And they don't teach you this in Sunday school necessarily, but in verse 51, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. So, with God's help, David did overcome the ultimate battle of fighting Goliath. He hit him in the forehead with the slingshot, with the stone, but ultimately what killed him was a sword by cutting off his head. That's what had to happen to prevent Goliath from further intimidating the armies of Israel. Goliath had to pass on. He had to go on to the next life, most likely in hell. But you don't let... God doesn't want anyone to defy him or to make bad of his name. He wants us to stand up for him in everything that we do. I did want to go briefly back to the New Testament in 2 Timothy chapter 3 real quick. Verse 12. I wonder if I write that down. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We need to be prepared for whatever may come our way. There's a lot that goes on in this world that's negative, and I'm fearing that as the days get closer and closer to Christ coming, that we are going to suffer more and more persecution in Christ's name. Are you prepared to handle whatever comes your way? Are you armored with God's armor? We need to remember that to always fight the good fight. We need to be, and to do that, we need to read His Word, study it, and share it with others. So let's just turn to the next chapter, in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, looking at Paul's example. And this is at the end of his life. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not unto me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. My hope is for myself as well as for all of you that you will fight the good fight, you will finish your course, and that you will keep the faith in God. Always continue to let Him be your light. Let Him guide you on every path that you take. He is the straight and narrow. He is the ladder to heaven. He is the way to get there. I thank you all for coming today, and I hope you learned something from this, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.